The touch of the Master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his time to waste his time on an old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good people?" he cried. "Who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1, do I hear two? $2, who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, then the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" as he held it aloft with his bow. "1,000, 1,000, do I hear two? 2,000, what makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone," said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the Master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with hardship, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice, he is going and almost gone. But the Master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. A poem by Myra Brooks Welch. We have a print of a poem something like this hanging in our home. It is one of our favorites. As I read the gospel reading for today, I thought of that poem. There are several accounts in the Bible where men and women both are restored by the touch of the Master's hand. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus cleanses a leper with just the touch of a Master's hand. In Matthew 17, at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus removes all the disciples' fear with just the touch of the Master's hand. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus restores a blind man's sight with just the touch of his hand. And in Luke chapter 22, Jesus heals the ear of the servant of the Most High Priest with just the touch of the Master's hand. And today we have one of these instances in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 14. Peter, the ever bold one, takes a step of faith and gets out of the boat onto the water at the Lord's bidding and at his command. Things are going well for Peter until he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts to focus on the wind, the waves, the heavy storm that was all around him. And at once, he starts to sink. What is interesting is the comparison of the various artistic renditions and interpretations of this moment. In one, you will notice Peter with the sea up to his knees. In another, the water is encircling his waist. In a third, the sea is coming up to his shoulders. His arm is outstretched, reaching for his Savior. There are others where it seems that only his head is above the water. The interpretation that I find most chilling, most frightening, most intriguing is the picture without Peter in it at all. It is a picture of Jesus as seen through the water, somewhat distorted by the waves and the storm. This is Peter's perspective as he sinks below the surface of the sea into the blackness of what lies below. But very clearly in the foreground is Jesus' hand sharply penetrating the surface of the water, rings rippling outward, the hand reaching down to pull Peter back from death to life. We get a glimpse of this salvific act through the eyes of Peter. There's nothing else in view. Faith rivets its attention solely on the Master and the touch of the Master's hand. Nothing or no one else can save Peter in his condition. Not his ability, not his works, not the boat, not the disciples. Stripped of all his pretenses, Peter was just like that $3 violin, dirty and out of tune with God. But just like when God stepped into humanity in the flesh of Jesus Christ and intervened to save the world, God stepped into Peter's life and intervened to save Peter. Despite Peter's lack of faith, Jesus reaches down and pulls him up, saving him from certain death. Having rescued Peter, Jesus then helps him to the boat, and upon getting in, the storm ceases. And in fitting response to all they had witnessed, Peter and the disciples worshiped Jesus. Peter was saved by the touch of the Master's hand. Was there ever a Master more patient and gracious than Jesus? I dare say not. And this graciousness and patience can be seen to have a lasting impact on Peter. Jesus had a profound effect on Peter's life, the same effect as the Master playing that $3 violin. Was Peter perfect? By no means. He faced his challenges. Peter denied Jesus, attempted to obstruct Jesus' mission on earth multiple times, was slow at understanding, fell asleep when he should have been watching, and at times in his boldness would jump in before he understood exactly what was happening. But Jesus continued to correct, restore, and strengthen Peter so that one day Peter would become an important leader in the early Christian church. In the book of Acts, Peter preached a crucial sermon on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved. Peter's instrumental in spreading the gospel to Gentiles, speaking before councils, is put in jail, narrowly missing execution. Historically, he is known and described by Paul as a pillar in the early church and was martyred for his faith. According to church historian Eusebius, Peter was to be crucified like Jesus, but requested to be crucified upside down, as Peter felt he was not worthy to be crucified as the same way as his Lord. As believers, many of us face challenges every day, maybe more so today than in the past. Many of us didn't grow up in a time when our faith and Christianity in general has been challenged like it is today, at least not in America. In recent conversation in our Monday night Bible study class, we talked about how many years has it been since we last considered or felt that the U.S. was a Christian nation. Was it 20, 30 years? Times have changed, and it will change more and more as we step out into faith and speak God's word. We will be targeted, and we will suffer the storm of persecution that swirls around us. And it will continue to be so as the end draws near. So the questions that we must ask ourselves are these. Can I keep my eyes focused on Jesus? And if I should waver and the water should encircle me, will Jesus, Master of the wind and the waves, save me? The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And Paul writes in Romans that anyone and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter himself wrote that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God comes to us in word and sacrament, giving us faith through the means of grace, forgiving our sins, strengthening our faith, blessing us with eternal life with him in heaven. Jesus is here with us today, reaching out with his scarred hands, grasping hold of us, saving us from our sinful selves and from the world, death, and the devil. And let's remember what we learned about St. Peter. We don't call him St. Peter because he was perfect, but because of what God accomplished through him, despite his imperfections. Just like that $3 violin, God takes an imperfect instrument, a sinful human being, and plays a wonderful symphony of godly witness to the glory of the Master. This is something that we can take comfort in. This is something that we can imitate. This is a promise, a historical example that will help us get out of the boat where, when the Holy Spirit leads us. So we contemplate the touch of the Master's hand. Will you be the $3 violin or the $3,000 violin? What music will you make? The Master has taken you in his arms, has dusted you off by forgiving your sins, and made you clean again. He has tightened your strings with his word and his sacraments. The bow of the Holy Spirit is ready. What music will you make? Amen.